Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you that we as a church can come together to hear your word, Lord. And Lord, we do come from a broken world, and we do have worries and burdens in our hearts. And Lord, I just pray that during this time that you would lift those burdens, those frustrations, those sadness, anger, fear, depression, that we've been dealt with this week, and you would cast them away so we can focus on you, Lord. Ask Jesus' name, amen. When we get married, usually it's a happy event. But as you know, being married, planning the wedding is a very, very big task. And sometimes when we plan a very big task, we get headaches. And if you think about when you planned your wedding, what type of headaches did you deal with? Well, one of the headaches that a lot of people deal with when they plan a wedding is a guest list. Who do I invite? Who should be on it? Who can, not say who, but who should I ask to come to the wedding? Now, this problem of planning a wedding is even bigger. Bigger headache is if you have a big circle of friends, or if you come from a very large family. Then the headache gets even bigger. But what happens if the event or the venue that you choose to have to hold the wedding is too small? Or you find out the caterer who's going to plan your wedding doesn't have enough food for the wedding, for the party. What do you do? We want to invite our friends. We want to invite our family members to the wedding, but the reality is you can't because you don't have the resources. So what do? You have to do the uncomfortable task of you're not invited. You have to say to, in the nicest, kindest way, I'm sorry, but I can't invite you because there's no room. I don't have enough resources. The venue's too small. That's exactly what we in the WANA program dealt with this year. We had many kids who wanted to join the WANA program, but we couldn't accommodate them because we did not have enough helpers to lead and to watch and to do all the WANA stuff. Also, we weren't able to do one thing that I think it's very important within the WANA program is to bring a friend night. Is the bring a friend night is where we encourage WANA clubbers to invite someone. We choose that we think, hey, you know what, this person hasn't been in a church or been in a fellowship. And it's very important because I see that activity as a way of the WANA program reaching out to those who usually don't come to a church or usually don't come to some Christian gathering. But more importantly, I think it's important because it gives the kids the experience of evangelizing and also witnessing to their friends who are usually don't come to church or come to any Christian gathering. Now, for some of you who haven't been exposed to WANA, don't know what WANA is, and you might think, oh, WANA, is this some structured children fellowship that churches organize? But you know what? It's more than that. It is more than that. The goal of the WANA is to reach kids, equip leaders, and to change the world by making one disciple at a time. Constant long-term participation of children between the ages of 6 to 10, especially when they're in the WANA program, has very lasting results. According to a survey of the WANA Alumni Survey, 92% of Awana alumni still attend church weekly or more often. Awana alumni are 3.6 times more likely to read their Bible several times a week. And 70% of alumni say that they witness to their friends at least once a month. The results of this survey we can sort of summarize in a passage. And I chose Proverbs 22, verse 6. And Proverbs 22, 6 says, "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it." But Proverbs 22, 6 also answers a question that a lot of parents ask their pastor. And what is that question? How do I keep my children in the faith? Well, what they're really asking is, how do I keep a line of Christians in my family until the day that Christ returns? It is a question that I deal with now. As you know, I have a son, and his name is Kairos, and I call him Mini-Me because he looks just like me, but shorter and I think cuter. Because I also ask myself that question, how do I keep Kairos in the faith? What do I do? What is my responsibility? But you know, we live in a very sad reality right now. And the sad reality is, in a joint study between the Barna Group and USA Today, they found that nearly 70% of Christian young people, they leave the church after high school. They come to church as they're young. They spend time in fellowship. You see them in children worship. But as they get older, they leave. And it's no surprising that some of them leave. It's because if you think about it, if your child attends a public school, they're exposed to around 30 hours per week in an environment that sometimes doesn't teach biblical principles or biblical values. And then when they get home, they spend another 30 hours a week watching TV, seeing commercials, going on the internet, social media. Again, they're bombarded with certain truths that are not very biblical. So compare that with so many distractions in the school, at home, it is no wonder that the Awana program is very important in a spiritual formation of a child. You know, sometimes as a pastor, I look at our church and I think, you know, we spend a lot of time outreach, evangelizing, standing in front door, welcoming newcomers, but we neglect to see the back door of our church. And it's where the back door, a lot of our young people are leaving. Sometimes we're just so focused on newcomers, but what about we focus on the people in the church right now? We've been neglecting those people leaving through the back door. Now, when we come to church, you know, we sometimes focus on our own spiritual development, our own spiritual formation, our own time, our own devotionals. But using the analogy of the body, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, Paul emphasized the importance of each member of this church, of any church, and how they contribute to the whole body. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so is with Christ." Paul is teaching us, starting from verse 12 to the end of the chapter, that if a seemingly insignificant part is taken away, the whole body becomes ineffective. All of us, everyone here, has a responsibility to contribute to the overall spiritual formation of the church. And why, on this Awana Sunday, I'm challenging everyone here to help out in the Awana program next year. Because not only the children in the Awana have the potential to be the future leaders of Pacific Grace, or if they decide to go to our church, the leader of another church, but the next generation also has a responsibility of being the salt and light of this broken world. The reality is we live in a world that is far more broken than in previous generations. Now, why we don't have the same level of persecution as our brothers and sisters on the mission field, we have our own form of persecution. Because when the secular values of the broken world start invading our Christian beliefs, in a sense, we are being persecuted. Now, as I look at some of you here, some of you might be thinking, you know, I don't really have much I contribute to the church. I don't see myself having any spiritual gifts. Now, you may agree or disagree, but the reality is each one of us, every one of us has spiritual gifts. In our reading this morning, we hear Peter encouraging us to use our spiritual gifts. God has made many spiritual gifts available to every one of us. Every one of us. Now, those gifts are controlled by the Spirit, and they're used for building up the church. And the gift that we get, God distributes them as He wills, not according to what we want, but what He wants. Paul writes in verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions each one individually as He wills. God wants us to be thrilled and have joy with the spiritual gifts that He gives each one of us. And God wants us to embrace that joy of those spiritual gifts. But I don't think God wants us to complain and say, you know what, I don't want that gift, I want something else. And actually to embrace other gifts. We need to embrace the gift that God has given us and not demand other gifts. Now, for example, some of you might wish to be smarter. Some of you might wish to be a better speaker or to be even a better musician. Now, there is no problem with that. There is no problem of wanting to self-improve yourself. But you need to understand that the spiritual gifts that God gives us, His ultimate desire is for us to use our spiritual gifts for His glory. The purpose of the gifts is never to draw praises to ourselves. We need to understand that gifts don't confer status. They confer responsibility. Now, for example, later on in verse 11, Peter teaches that those of us who have gifts that require being a speaker must be responsible for what we say, as though it is coming through God, and God is speaking through us. Likewise, those of us who are gifted with abilities to involve helping others, we have the responsibility to serve not out of our own strength, but with the strength and energy that God gives us. If we serve with our own strength, or we serve in order to look good to others, you're going to get really tired very soon. You're going to burn out. But to serve with God's strength and to be able to go above and beyond and to know you do it for one purpose, God will be given glory in everything that you do through Christ. When we use our gifts as God directs to help others, to build the church, others will see Christ by looking at our faces, by our actions. And we will know that we're glorifying Him. Also, when we use our gifts in humble service of others, God's generosity can flow through them. We're all different. We all have different gifts. All the gifts are varied and multifaceted. As God's grace varies in His dealings with us, again, so are God's gifts. The gifts that you get, manage them well. Don't hide them, but to use them as they're intended to be used, serving and building up the body of Christ. In our context this morning, that is what we're asking, or I'm challenging you. Use those gifts in Awana. Everyone here has a gift. Use it. I know some of you have been Christians for a very, very long time. Maybe you've been in this church since you are very young, even a baby. And you have walked this path a long, long time. And perhaps in your season of your life, your Christian faith has been stale or stagnant, or maybe you treat coming to church as something you mark on a to-do list every week that you do. Oh, I have to come to church. If you are in that zone or that place that you are in, I suggest that you come out to help out Awana. Why? Why am I asking you? If you feel tired or, quote, bored about your faith, why does Bill want you to come to Awana? You see, one of the joys of being part of the Awana program is seeing the joy of children getting excited and engaging in Scripture. Seeing them being excited and you know, memorizing and being involved in Scripture. When was the last time you saw someone get excited about Scripture? I know that our denomination men, the MBs, we're not supposed to be charismatic. But guess what? This is the closest we're going to get to being excited about Scripture. And I know that I remember from one of my professors in seminary that he told us that children's ministry is one of the most rewarding ministries you can get involved in. Because you get to witness firsthand the joy and the beauty of children discovering God through open and curious minds. There's others who say that children's ministry is rewarding because it is easier to build strong children than repair broken men. For me personally, I can see the joy of Kairos when I drive him home after Awana. There are times when I'm driving Kairos home that he'll be singing the Cubby song in the back seat. He was sing, and I could see the joy in his faith. I also recall a time when his preschool teacher told me, he said, you know, sometimes Kairos asks some of the leaders in the preschool, is it okay if I can teach the songs I hear in Awana to everyone in the preschool and all my friends? Now think about this. A little 4-year-old kid asked his teachers if he could sing Christian songs in a secular daycare. What's that mean? What's that mean when a little kid asks that kind of question? He's not asking, can I sing nursery rhymes or songs they hear on YouTube or on Sesame Street, but songs and here's an Awana. It is a four-year-old kid already learning how to witness and how to evangelize. That is the effect of the Awana in Carlos's life. And that's the effect of Awana in Carlos's spiritual formation. And that's what we as leaders in the Awana want for all the cubbers. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this Awana program. And Lord, sometimes I know that we have spiritual gifts, but we are afraid to use it. And sometimes we are afraid because we feel that we don't have, quote, the perfect gift or the best gift, or sometimes we doubt ourselves. But Lord, you give each one of us here a spiritual gift, a gift that can build the church and to affect lives, to witness, and to evangelize. And I pray that if we're caught in a zone that we don't want to use it, or we are afraid to use it, I just pray that you give us a boldness to step out to use those gifts for the church, for the people around us, and for the secular broken world. You've given us a great gift. And I pray, Lord, that we will use those gifts. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. At this time, I would like to invite our two Awana advocates.